Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is really from the epistle lesson. If then this life only we have hope for Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so today we're going to focus on the epistle lesson and the gospel lesson. Well, one day there was a guy who came home from work. This is an old story because he took a newspaper and sat in his chair reading the newspaper. But he had a son. As soon as he sat down to read the paper, the son had a question for him. So dad dutifully answered the question, went back to the paper. As soon as he opened it up, son had another question. And so he answered the question and then started to open again. And this is an inquisitive kid because he asked another question. This went on. Finally, the father had an idea. He goes, okay. So he takes the paper, there's a picture of the world, and he kind of tears it in pieces. He says, son, come over here. Son comes over there. I want you to put this back together, thinking that he wouldn't know how to put the world back together. And so the son goes off. He's only gone for a couple minutes, and he comes back, and it's all taped together. The father said, well, how did you do that? He says, oh, there was a picture of a man on the back, so I put that together, and then I had the world together. It's a fun little story because it illustrates a point. That what is it that keeps the world together? When we look at the gospel lesson today, there are parts of the world that seem to be falling apart. When we look at the world, ourselves, it seems to be falling apart. What is it that keeps the world together? Well, the lessons remind us today that that which keeps the world together, your life together, is one man. It's Christ. And the reason that he can keep your life together, the world together, is because he is your resurrected Lord and Savior. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at how this verse, these two verses from Paul, are really illustrated by our Lord in the gospel lesson, the Sermon on the Plain, this version of the Beatitudes. And so we go back to verse 19. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. That the importance of the resurrection is the importance of our faith. And we need to understand this because the world is in need. It's filled with difficulty. We know that, right? We see that pictured in our gospel lesson today. It's interesting how Luke describes the events leading up to Jesus with the Sermon on the Plain. People are coming from everywhere. He makes very clear that there are Jews that are coming from Judea and Galilee, from all across the nation. He's also clear that there's Gentiles coming from Tyre and Sidon. People of all different backgrounds are coming. And also believers are coming, but some who are not believers. All types of people are in desperation for the Lord. And that's the picture, right? People who are sick, people who are ill, people who are coming because they're demon-possessed. And they're just hoping to touch Jesus and have the power go out from them. This is a picture of desperation, right? As we think about our world, don't we have images around the world of things that seem to be falling apart? Poverty, and we think of a lot of times of poverty in the city, but also in the rural areas. We can think about natural disasters, blizzards, earthquakes, hurricanes, we can go on and on. Strife and war, violence. But it's interesting, as Jesus talks about the world, he really makes it personal. He uses that second person, you. He says to you, blessed are you who hunger now. He's saying that there is difficulty in your life, no doubt, at times. The idea that you might have hunger, you might have want. And if you think about it, hunger often is found with those who have financial difficulties. Think about your life. Have you always had all the money that you've wanted? Has it always been easy to meet all the bills? Ever wondered about how you're going to meet the bills for next month? Or maybe even put food on the table. There is indeed poverty that exists within the world. There are people who are hungry. Maybe you've experienced that. The next one, I think, strikes even closer to home. Blessed are you who weep now. Who is it that weeps? It's those who grieve, those who mourn, those who have suffered loss. Have you suffered loss? Better question is, who hasn't suffered one point or another? I mean, there are varying degrees of loss of relationships, loss of jobs, but also loss of loved ones. Who in this world hasn't suffered through a loss that have brought grief or weeping? This is what we experience. He continues on, blessed are you when people hate you. Jesus says that in this life, if you live out your Christian life, there's going to be a time when you're challenged, rejected maybe, even hated, looked down upon. Some are going to be persecuted. Some will even be killed. But all who live out their faith will at one point or another have the world turn their back on them. They'll be mocked. They'll be ridiculed. So this is what Jesus says to the disciples. And Luke is very clear at this. When he's looking at the disciples, this is when he begins speaking these Beatitudes. And so, as children of God, this is a life that you can expect. Doesn't sound very appealing, does it? And if that's the life that we have, a life of hunger, a life of want, a life of weeping, a life of hatred and rejection, if we hear Paul say, if this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most pitied, that really strikes home, doesn't it? If all that we have is what we see within the world, there isn't much there. And if only for this life we have hope, we are to be pitied. We are to be pitied because we're focused on the wrong things. Because if we're only focused on this life and this is all that there is, and we're only focused on faith and on Christ, then our focus is wrong. If this is all there is, shouldn't we be focused on this life and trying to take away the difficulties and all the rest now? Shouldn't we really become self-centered, focused on how we're going to provide for ourselves and keep the difficulty away? If this is all there is, we are to be pitied. But Paul makes very clear, this isn't all there is. He goes on in verse 20 to say, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We have a resurrected Lord. There is more to life than we see. There is more to life than much of the world sees. But it kind of creates a conundrum that Jesus highlights. He speaks about suffering, he speaks about hunger, he speaks about hatred, he speaks about grief, and yet at the same time he says those who hunger, those who suffer, those who grieve are blessed. How can that be? How can you be blessed and hungry? How can you be grieving and blessed? Well, the key to all this is the very first beatitude. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Jesus begins teaching saying that we already have God's kingdom. Whatever we experience, whatever we go through, you are already part of God's kingdom. You are loved by Him. You belong to Him. It's already begun for you. And Jesus could say this because this is what He was coming to do. He was ushering in a new kingdom. In His presence, the kingdom of God was present. Wherever He reigns, wherever He is, there is His kingdom. So as He's speaking to those disciples, the kingdom was present. As our Lord comes to you today in worship, the kingdom is present. You have a king. Because He had come to establish this kingdom in which He would rescue His people from this life of difficulty. He came to conquer sin. He came to conquer death and the devil. He came to rescue you and me. He came to rescue all people from this life. And we see this expressly in His ministry, right? The miracles that were performed before Jesus began the Beatitudes, wasn't this a rescue from illness? As He heals the people, wasn't He demonstrating, this is what I came to do, to undo what sin has brought? Because sin's what brought illness, sickness, death, and the rest. By restoring those people, He was rescuing them from illness and sickness. He's saying, this is what I came to rescue all people from. And then the other miracles, or the driving out of demons, wasn't this a rescue that the Lord was bringing? A rescue from sin, from Satan and his power, from evil? As He drove out those evil, He was showing His power over Satan, that He was coming to conquer him. And that's exactly what our Lord did. His suffering, His death, and the resurrection. He has overcome sin, death, and the devil. He did this to rescue His people, to rescue all people. And it's in the resurrection that the rescue comes. It's in the resurrection that He demonstrates that sin has no power over them, devil has no power over them, that they have been defeated. It's in the resurrection we have the promise of our eternal life. And so in that way we can understand those Beatitudes, right? We know that there will be a day in which there is no more hunger. In eternity, there is no lack. The Lord provides all that you need. There is no hunger. In eternity, we will laugh and we will rejoice because in eternity, there is no sin. There is no grief. There is no death. There is no sorrow. Jesus puts it this way. Great is your reward in heaven. In heaven, hatred and all the rest come to an end. So as we look at these Beatitudes, we know that that day is coming. And that day is coming because we have a resurrected living Lord. It's all tied to the resurrection. Take the resurrection away and all of this falls apart. But because Christ is raised from the dead, you have a promise of eternity, an eternal life with no hunger, no grief, no suffering. But that then begs the question, well, what about now? That's for the future. Well, your life now is dependent upon the resurrection. Your life now is dependent upon a risen, living Lord. The beauty of what our Lord describes and what Paul reinforces is that you have a life now because you have a living, resurrected Lord who is with you. In your baptism, the resurrected Lord united himself to you. Because you have a resurrected Lord, you have life. And that has meaning for you now. There is satisfaction now. In our hunger, the Lord comes to be with you, to satisfy you at times, to give you strength at times. In your illness and sickness, the Lord is with you. At times to bring healing to the body, at times to point to the healing that would come, but through it all, to bless you with his presence and with his strength and with his peace, there is help now. Your life now depends on the resurrection. The resurrection isn't just about eternity. The resurrection is about having a living Lord who is with you now. We see the promises of our Lord that he makes to us. We see the activity that he has in our life. He comes to you today and reminds you of the love that he has for you, the forgiveness that is yours. And as you go, he goes with you and supplies those things that you need. Again, as we look at these two texts, we see that Paul points out that Christianity rises and falls with the resurrection. Our eternity is based on that. There is no resurrection of the dead if Christ has not raised. But as Paul says, Christ has been raised. And then we do have the promise of eternity. But our life today is dependent upon a risen Lord. A Lord who lives to be with you. A Lord that lives to bless you. A Lord that lives to supply you all you need. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, life everlasting.